We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
All right. Are we there? Are we there?
Oh, we're live, pal.
There
we go.
Right there. Okay.
Yeah, there's so many damn buttons.
There we go.
There we go.
There
all right.
We go. Okay.
What do you know who won the pony? We got like 20 mics in the studio.
We got like 3 mics, 1 chick. What's up, Acadiana? It's your girl, Shakira Martin.
That's interesting.
From News 15. And this is your Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben Love isn't here today, so I am filling in, but he will be back on Monday. And you're tuned into 103.7 FM, The Game. And I, of course, have the honor to be hanging out with my guy, Clint. Clint D, what's up?
What it do, baby? I'm just going to say it every time now.
It just sounds so natural.
It's so good. I'm a fun guy.
A fun guy. Today's a great day because today begins the best time of the year. It's officially football, baby. Football's back. NFL's back. And, you know, it started out great because AB is, you know, on top of the headlines.
Well, he never really left, did he?
Never really left. But you know what? I think he's on top of the headlines because he is a guy who will stick up for himself. At the end of the day, he's human. He doesn't want to compromise morality in his eyes. And you know what? When he doesn't like something, he speaks up. And I think maybe perhaps people are channeling it as, you know, the media headline hype when it's just him being him and standing up for himself sometimes.
It's amazing to see how much he just continually wants to just grab the headlines and just constantly wants to be the center of attention. And it's definitely to the detriment of his team. Because think about it. After the whole, just look at how he's treated, how he's prepared himself over the last year or so of his career, dating back to all the bugaboo that was going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was the biggest thing for me, is he's been dealing, and this has been an issue with him for the last 2 years. He's been constantly in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. Antonio Brown should be just focused on getting things done and getting done on the field rather than worrying about helmets and getting in spats with your general manager, Mike Mayock, who, mind you, Mike Mayock should not be a general manager in the NFL to begin with. Should just stick to the analysis because I don't think he can handle the heat that's going on inside of a locker room and also of the front office, because I feel like there's going to be a lot of heat around him in the not-too-distant future, and along with the man himself, Jack Gruden.
Right, but I also can see Mayock having this issue of just trying to let it be known what the ground rules is going to be under his leadership as a GM. You know, like, this is basically his first year.
Yeah.
Having the chance to do this. And, you know, as a leader, sometimes folks don't like that you got to set the ground rules and let it be known, this is what I'm going to tolerate and this is what I'm not going to tolerate. And I don't even think it's an AB and Gruden thing. I think it's an AB and Mayock thing, and it's just trying to find the balance. AB has to learn to be the student at the end of the day. He doesn't own, you know, the football
yeah,
team.
Doesn't.
He isn't the coach, and you're not the GM, so you do have to learn to be the student in some scenarios. But also, I think it comes with, we don't even know the issue on what AB is speaking about. All we know is there is turmoil going on. No one has disclosed what exactly happened, what was said. We know that AB posted on Instagram that Mayock was being a GM, and he had to find a guy because just because you are a star receiver on everybody's fantasy football team league doesn't mean you can't you don't have to follow the rules.
You miss like the first 2 weeks of the season. I feel like that's the right way. Like that's the only way you can handle it. You miss the first 2 weeks of training camp. You're going to get fined.
That's in
the rules in place in your contract, especially when it comes to these holdouts. You miss out on training camp. It's not like, oh, hey, if you did that during mandatory minicamps. Now, mind you, of course, for the most part, you look at some teams. Because as far as I know, Michael Thomas never got fined for missing, what, the 4 or 5 days that he missed of training camp. But it all is handled in-house. But I feel like, you know, when you look at him, in the case of your boy Antonio Brown, his situation is a little bit different because he missed about 2-3 weeks of training camp because of his antics with the holdout, with the holdout over the helmet, the cryotherapy chamber. Why do you not have socks on going into a damn like cryotherapy chamber? Because seriously, you know how cold that place is. You should know to put your damn stuff on there.
I think it's okay to, you know, get a spanking here and there, but then I mean sometimes a grown man is going to speak up for himself and stand up for himself. And it's not a Michael Thomas situation where this is family and this is culture here. AB is fresh to the Raiders. So, I mean, if he goes in with a, hey, like, I'm AB, y'all need me, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't,
I got you.
You can't really blame. I mean, it's really bad. It looks really bad.
Oh, it's a bad look all the way around.
It's a bad look.
I mean, when you got Ian Rappaport, he put this out earlier today about the altercation that, you know, did not get physical, but after a screaming match, Brown told Mayock that he would hit him in the face
and punted
the ball and said, "Fine me for that." And the craziest the craziest thing of it all is the person who is breaking up the altercation was, of all people, who would have thunk this? Vontaze Burfict, the person nobody likes in the league.
No one.
The man is just like, I'm surprised he's with the Oakland Raiders now after everything that happened with the Steelers and the Bengals, with that heated rivalry got a whole lot more heated with your boy Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah, and I also saw a report saying that a lot of the Raiders teammates are speaking out saying that it's not good for AB and it looks really bad on him. You know, AB's already being petty, and he's gone on Instagram and already unfollowing
Derek Carr.
Yeah, Derek Carr and the Raiders, right?
Yeah.
And he only follows like 3 DBs, and that's it. So, I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, see both sides like Chanel, okay? I'm just trying to see his side as well as the league side. I mean, at the end of the day, we're only... I want to say ants looking at the bigger pile, but
like we're just looking at things from 1,000 miles out, as opposed to like we're not there in Oaktown seeing everything going on. We're not Mike Mayock. We're not John Gruden. We're not one of the players or a beat writer. We're looking at this from all the way here in Lafayette, Louisiana, as opposed to, you know, we're just looking at things from our perspective. But again, it's the fact that to me, it's all about Antonio Brown needing to kind of stop with the antics because it's continuing to create a bad look
for him.
Not just for him, but I feel like for the Raiders as a whole, because you look at everything that's happened since John Gruden took over. He got rid of Khalil Mack. He traded Khalil Mack for virtually nothing, and then you got rid of Amari Cooper for, what was it, a first-round pick or somewhere along those lines?
Yeah.
He basically got that was basically the most lopsided trade of all time. I feel like even Madden 20 would have rejected that one. And it's just like you got rid of two of your best players on your roster, and now you have a headache in Vontaze Burfict because you never know when he's going to get fined for any of the hard hits that he delivers over the course of a regular season. And then you have
AB. Wait, so question.
Just king of headaches.
I mean, if he becomes available, would you want the Saints to grab him?
Oh, no. I feel like the Saints have learned.
Sean Payton will bring his belt out and spank AB. Like, he needs to be disciplined. And then say, go play.
I feel like here's the thing.
Some love.
I disagree with that strongly. I think a lot of it has to be with the fact that look at how that culture in the locker room has changed over the last few years. Back when they were 7-9, you know who they had? They had guys like Junior Gallette. And we all know his crazy ass. You have him. You got rid of him. And then you had the Brandon Browner situation, him having to be put in the shower and told to calm down after getting a little snippy with the media. I feel like they're wanting to kind of not have these headaches, these locker room cancers like an Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
And if we see Antonio Brown be part of that team, it's got to be Sean Payton has to sit there and talk to him right away and be like, dude, either you're all in or you're all out. Like, I'm not playing games with you. If you want to be part of this team, you'll be part of the team. But unless you tell me right here, right now, that you're going to wind up continuing to do some of the antics, some of the BS that you've been doing, I think it's an issue.
Don't you think the Raiders tried to do that?
I think they did, but I feel like they wound up giving a little bit too much rope. They gave him a little bit too much rope because at the end of the day, you know what you were getting yourself into the second you went into trade negotiations with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You knew what was going on in the last year. I feel like he has definitely run out of opportunities in the league because of just the last year. He's a hell of a talent, but sometimes talent is going to wind up overshadowing whatever kind of head case you are. We can definitely look at a lot of great examples in the recent history of the NFL, but I feel like Antonio Brown is going to be the one of the shining examples of making sure you got your head on straight. Because if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but wasn't he a couple of years ago the one that was Facebook Live-ing the Mike Tomlin post game?
Oh, that was good.
That was him?
That was him.
Okay, I couldn't remember if it was him or not.
That was fun, and that was good. And, you know, if you want to join in on this conversation, you can hit up our hotline, 337-706-0111. We're just talking about the latest news right now on Bumper to Bumper Sports, where AB is causing a commotion out there in Raider land. I can't wait to see that on Hard Knocks. You know, it comes on every Tuesday. They are definitely going to show a little bit of all of this. And I mean, hey, we'll get to see his side of the story as well. Just, I mean, it's always cool to understand where both sides are coming from. That's why we love the Joker when we watch the Batman movies at the end of the day. But yeah, if you want to join in on the conversation, 337-706-0111.
Yeah, that was just somebody who wanted to know if that was actually going to be on Hard Knocks, but Hard Knocks just wrapped up this past Tuesday.
Oh, I just said that. I was like, hey, that's going to be – oh, you're right.
It only takes place during
training camp.
Yeah.
They would do all of this after the camera shut down.
Exactly.
How annoying.
It's the best, though, that they're going to wind up trying to do something along those lines.
You know what? I'm not going to depend on, like, ESPN to give us the news. Like, I'm just going to see – what the media, the local media, discovers there. And then I'm going to watch AB go live on Instagram because you know he will eventually.
Mr. Big Chest,
and see what he has to say.
Dude just loves Instagram Live, doesn't he?
I mean, it speaks his story. It speaks his truth. And that's what I'm here for, America. Okay, guys, you are tuned into 103.7 The Game, Bumper to Bumper Sports. I'm Shakira Martin standing in, or sitting in, talking in, filling in for Ben Love. Don't touch that dial because we've got more for you guys after the break.
A helpful reminder, this football.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
If the parties hang around, let me hear you say, What's going on, Acadiana? It's the Bumper to Bumper Sports. I am Shakira Martin from News 15, filling in for Ben Love. He's out taking care of business. I'm going to sing everything that comes to my mind.
Oh Lord, this is definitely not your uncle's Bumper to Bumper Sports show.
I'm singing everything that comes to mind, but I'm filling in for Ben Love. He will return back on Monday. But for right now, you have me and Cody D getting you through the traffic.
Whoa. Clint D.
You just
mashed up me and Cody.
I think I'm just getting carried away trying to freestyle and sing. Like,
wound up just going all over the place there.
I'm sorry.
It's all good.
I'll calm down and do what I came to do. And that's talk about sports. And today we found out some sad news from the Raging Cajuns. Or I guess yesterday at the press conference, Coach Napier gave us the injury report, and as we all know, Ken Marks went out on Saturday during the Mississippi State game.
He was already apparently dinged up from what Napier said on Monday. He was out for – he wound up being pulled out because he just wasn't necessarily 100% ready to go, but now he'll be done for the year along with Johnny Lumpkin.
Dun, da, dun, dun.
It's tough to kind of – especially when you just look at, like, that tight end group is just bare bones right now. I mean, you got a guy that's – he was a fullback, if I'm not mistaken, right? He was a fullback originally, but, you know, whenever you got to move, you got to move. And he looked really good, the former Arizona State product.
That's
really
Nick
cool.
Ralston we're talking about, Nick the transfer from UTSA. I would say Buddy transferred right on time.
He really did. I think he was kind of late in the game. I feel I don't have it in front of me, but I feel like he was a little bit of one of those late in the game type of guys. Thankfully, wound up showing up at the right time. He looked really good.
I mean, go ahead and share. What do you think the absence of Ken Marks is going to do for the Cajuns?
It's going to hurt, but I feel like at the same time, we noticed that it was a next man up mentality. Everybody who showed up in that game against Mississippi State last Saturday, it was impressive all the way around. It was a great performance from that offensive line. I mentioned yesterday that I was definitely a little bit suspect on what Shane Vallow was going to wind up doing as the starting center, but it really showed how much and how huge it was to have it be a lot of continuity all throughout fall camp, him being there. Because I feel like if it was a situation where, hypothetically, let's say within the first 2 weeks of fall camp, you have a guy like Cole Perdomo be out for an entire year, that winds up throwing a wrench into things. I feel like now that he spent all throughout fall camp working with those ones, he's able to really kind of develop that rapport and develop that chemistry with Levi Lewis and developed the chemistry with the rest of the offensive line. And we noticed whenever you saw Max Mitchell, Osiris Torrance, those guys, they looked really good in their roles. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens this weekend when they take on Liberty. But more importantly, it's going to be interesting to look at what happens with them in the next few weeks, because a couple weeks from now, that's when the real test is going to be brought to the table in terms of non-conference. You're going to be facing a really good Group of Five program in Ohio, a program that has been a consistent 9-win team. Me and Ben have gone back and forth on this. I'm not quite sold on them being as good as maybe they have been the last couple of years. I think they've lost a lot of notable talent. When you look at the Cajuns, they have a lot of notable talent coming back.
Right. Right. I think all eyes will be, like you said, on the front line just to see the chemistry, to see how these guys are going to go. I mean, luckily for the Cajuns, they're playing Liberty this week and then follow up with
Texas Southern. SWAC team.
Yeah, so
the SWAC team, that's always going to be relative. It should be a win.
It should be.
Liberty and Texas Southern, those should be the wins that you have on the board.
Those should be like scrimmage practices to where I hate to say it.
I mean, you're equating it to a preseason game, basically.
Yeah.
And, I'll say this. Liberty could be a decent program, but it's not necessarily now that you have the whole situation with Hugh Freeze looming large, that's going to be a real pain to kind of deal with, especially early on in the season. I feel like if it wasn't for the Hugh Freeze situation, we'd wind up seeing it be a lot more entertaining of a ball game.
Yeah.
And things could wind up changing. I think we can talk right here, right now, about the fact that the way the Cajuns are setting up, they're poised to pull something big off in 2019.
Just got to stay healthy.
Exactly. And I feel like they've got every chance. I said this weeks ago. They've got every chance to be 3-1, but 2-2, it won't be out of the picture again. It's all about that game 2 weeks from now up in Ohio. And then I think right after that, you make the road trip up to Georgia Southern. And we know Georgia Southern definitely looked like they sold everybody a false bill of goods.
We didn't even get to see them.
Exactly. We saw them up against LSU, so you can't tell.
No, we didn't get to see them.
Yeah. I mean, you saw Shai Words get absolutely just demolished and pounded into the ground.
We saw 24 yards happen, and that was it.
24 yards. It was, I think, 100 total yards in the game.
Exactly.
No, it was under 200 yards.
Under 100.
It was, I think, 6 yards shy. It was impressive to see LSU's defense. But one more thing about the Cajuns. We didn't quite get into this, but yesterday we brought this up about the fact that you have the 2020 schedule all locked up. Now, you add one more game to that for the 2022 slate.
Florida State!
That is interesting to kind of see them start getting more of those Power 5 games. Now, again, We look at what Florida State has done since Jimbo left. It basically has laid an egg. I believe Florida State, who did they, his Florida State, didn't they lose to like a jabroni team last week? Last weekend, again, they had a lot of jabroni losses.
Not going to lie, they weren't really on my radar.
Well, they're not really on many people's radar now.
Wasn't on
since
my radar.
Jameis Winston. Yeah, they lost to Boise State. Not exactly a jabroni. 24th ranked Boise State, the 36-31. A really competitive ball game.
That was a competitive ball game.
But it feels like you can say right here, right now, again, 2022, Billy Napier cannot be there. Hopefully he will be. But 2022, he might not be there. Current head coach, Willie Taggart, more likely than not, will not be there. It feels like Jimbo Fisher left that program in a lot worse state than it was when he got in. He left that thing in a just absolute mess. 36-31 loss. Now they're going to be taking on UL Monroe this Saturday. But in 2022, the Cajuns head over to Tallahassee. I believe this might be the first time these two teams have ever faced off. I haven't seen – this is the weird part. Like, we usually get the releases on it. Haven't got one just yet. Hopefully we get one before the end of the show.
I think watching them play ULM next week – or you said this week?
Yeah, yeah, it's Saturday.
This week, yeah, that will be a good scouting to see, like, what is going on with that team for those of us who
have ULM wins, that's going to be another, like, feather in the cap for them. Yeah, the Cajuns of Florida State have never played before.
Oh, wow.
But with UL Monroe, UL Monroe's always been a weird team. They can always – you can always count on them for at least one upset every couple of years because a few years ago they had the Auburn game. And I think a lot of people don't remember this as much, but ULM beat Alabama. And Nick Saban coached Alabama team.
When was this?
07. It was very early Nick Saban at Alabama, like literally right after he didn't get Drew Brees. And immediately
imagine
just
being on that team.
Oh, imagine being, you got to think about it. That's a situation where Nick Saban was trying to make lemonade out of lemons, chicken salad out of, you can fill in the blank right there. And that's kind of that was the biggest thing that I always observed from like from them. Because ULM has beaten Auburn, and this was post Cam Newton Auburn, if I'm not mistaken. So a lot of things going on with that. But we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back with a whole lot more. Danny Jones joining the program. Talk a little LSU Texas Hook'em Horns. And more importantly, a little St. Thomas More Cougars. The voice of the Cougars joins B2BS next.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
And welcome back to your Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Of course, I'm not Ben Love. I am Shakira Martin filling in for Ben Love, who will be out until Monday. So don't panic. I'm just here for a few days filling in. But at least I'm here with Clint D. You guys know who he is. And there's so much that we're talking about today because you know, it's football season and football starts. We started out the show talking about the madness going on with Antonio Brown and the Raiders. I love that we're saying Antonio Brown and the Raiders versus the Raiders and Antonio Brown. And then we followed up talking about some Raging Cajuns with the injury report. Ken Marks is done and Lumpkins is done. That means the offense side of the ball is really getting hit early in the season, but you know, we're gonna hope and pray that things, you know, turn around for the Raging Cajuns and they are able to come out on top. Now we are going to talk a little bit about the LSU versus UT game. It's College Game Day on Saturday, folks. Get with it because everyone is already there, and I think like we're just pretty excited and ecstatic that LSU will finally, you know, play UT. I mean, they're neighbors. You're right there. I'm excited as a fellow Texan, even though UT wasn't my school. Like, this is just going to be a big game that's going to happen in Austin. It would be sweeter if it was the game already in BR, but, you know, we got to wait for that to happen next year. And we have a caller who is going to step in and let us know. We got Danny on the phone. Danny, are you there?
I'm here. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks so much for chatting with us today.
Absolutely. It's a great week. High school football starting tomorrow. Maybe some across the state today, but overall high school football starting this week. And obviously the big showdown, as you mentioned, in Austin between Texas and LSU, and the Saints get started on Monday. So great weekend of football all the way around, prep, collegiate, and professional here in South Louisiana.
Amen to that, Danny. It's a great week for football. So which day are you excited about? Are you excited about Friday when it comes to high school? Are you excited about Saturday with the college game day? Or are you excited about Monday because, you know, that's big game day?
Well, obviously, you know, with St. Thomas More football being right here on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, and being part of the Cougar Football Radio Network since 2004, obviously I'm excited to get the prep season kicked off tomorrow in New Orleans against Holy Cross over Yeoman Stadium on the campus of Tulane. So it's exciting always for a game and from the, you know, the sales side, the production side, and getting things started from a radio perspective. Then I'll sleep in New Orleans, and Saturday morning I'll fly out to Austin to go support the alma mater. I am one of the few that will be pulling for the Texas Longhorns.
Wow.
Here in South Louisiana. I'm a graduate of the University of Texas, so I'm excited to take in that game with family and friends on Saturday night, and then I'll fly back Monday morning to New Orleans and head to the Superdome for Monday Night Football. So it's going to be a great week of football for myself and everybody around. Obviously, college football kicked off last weekend, but really some, you know, if you're a South Louisiana fan, you support LSU, support state schools, most people are excited. It's probably one of the biggest non-conference games for LSU and for Texas. Texas probably hasn't had this big of a non-conference game since Ohio State went to Austin in 2006, and, you know, LSU has knocked off some AP top 10 opponents in neutral sites, but a crazy stat that I found interesting this week was that LSU has never won a true road game against an AP top 10 team in the history of LSU football. So we'll see if that can happen come Saturday night in Austin.
Well, with that being said, do you believe that Texas is back?
I don't know if we're back. I believe we are right on the cusp. I believe what Tom Herman has done while he's been there in his now two years in a game so far, he's changed the culture for sure for those University of Texas and University of Texas supporters. Sam Ehlinger is obviously a quarterback that's been likened to Tim Tebow, maybe a little bit better passer. Are we truly back? I don't know. LSU's got a lot of talent on the field, and obviously their defensive backfield is very strong. This is one of the years that maybe their offensive line isn't as strong as it typically has been. But I know they showed a lot last week in their 55-3 victory over Georgia Southern. They showed a lot. Obviously, Georgia Southern was outmanned, but at the same time, also a one-dimensional offense. I think they had 12 yards passing. But obviously, Georgia Southern tries to do things on the ground. So a very different matchup. Texas played Louisiana Tech. I thought Texas would obviously win. I thought it'd be closer than it was, the 45-14 game with Louisiana Tech being one of the most experienced teams in the country as far as leadership on the field and seniors that have played a lot. So I didn't expect Texas to jump out to a 38-0 lead and give up 14 points in the fourth quarter. But so if you're Texas, you know, you started 8 new guys on defense. It was a good test. So they're going to get tested, obviously, through the air. They had some situations last week where they played 8 defensive backs against pass-happy Louisiana Tech, and we might see a little bit of that. But and then on the offensive side of the ball for Texas, it's one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. We've got one healthy running back.
One.
And actually one running back that will actually be active on Saturday. We've got 5 scholarship guys that are inactive, 1 walk-on running back that is inactive. So they moved our third-string true freshman quarterback to backup running back. Wow. And on Sunday they moved the linebacker to third-string running back. So that's an area where the Longhorns could find themselves not in great situation. But Sam Ehlinger is, you know, another running back type player for the Longhorns. So we'll see how it shakes out. I think it's going to be a great matchup. I truly think, and, you know, I know home field advantage, and a lot of people may call me crazy, but I truly think Texas is probably more equipped to beat LSU next year in Baton Rouge than they are Saturday in Austin.
Hey, Danny, where are you from?
I'm from Lafayette. I'm from Lafayette.
Okay, I asked just because you said you went to Texas. I'm from Texas, so I'm just wondering what persuaded you to make your way down to UT?
The broadcasting school and just an opportunity presented itself, and so I took it and went. I'm not from Texas, but I got there as fast as I could. But in the winter of 2001, had the fortune and opportunity to move back home and been back home in Lafayette since then.
Okay, so a question about UT's offense. Are you a little nervous with them matching up to one of, or what is considered the DBU of college football, even though Texas is trying to say that they're the real DBU?
Well, I think both of them can probably stake a claim to it. Probably Texas in the first decade of 2000s, and then probably LSU since then.
Right.
Schools that have, if you look across the history of the National Football League, have put several players, maybe at different times of their history over the last 20-plus years, into the National Football League. I think it's an interesting matchup. I think Colin Johnson is probably one of the best big target wide receivers in college football that Texas has. And, you know, with so many one-on-one situations that LSU will probably find themselves in because they play a lot of man coverage, they'll find themselves, you know, Colin Johnson will have opportunities to make plays. As he did, his stats against ranked opponents is incredible. Had a great game against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, and then Jake Smith, who's was the Gatorade Player of the Year from Arizona, as a true freshman. He's actually going to have some. I think he'll contribute. As will Devin Duvernay. I think Devin Duvernay presents a lot of speed that Texas has, and so I think it's going to be a great matchup. But I think there's going to be opportunities. Both of these teams will play 7 and 8 defensive backs if they have to, and hopefully Dean can dunk. It's what a lot of what they do. Obviously, when you're playing at Georgia Southern or you're playing a team that's overmatched, you get some, you know, one-on-ones down the field or some options for some long post passes. But I truly think it could be a slugfest. I've told people, you know, they ask for my honest opinion, and yes, I'm a Texas homer, but I see Texas winning a close game or LSU beating Texas by 14-21.
And then waiting for the following year to happen when the game goes to BR and you think it'll be UT.
Well, I think the youth may catch up to Texas possibly if that presents itself. But Joe Burrow last year did not play well on the road against ranked opponents. And I think the curious thing to see is if it is a close game, Ed Ogeron can get tight in close games, and will he continue with this, you know, wide open?
Uh-oh. Hello? Is Danny still there?
I think we lost Danny Jones there for a second.
I think Louisiana said, enough with the UT update, because the Tigers are going to take it. I don't know. I mean,
but hey, yeah.
He brought up a lot of really good notes of things to look out for. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. They are down to one running back. That is kind of crucial. I mean, even though you got a quarterback who's able to be a running back as well, I mean, you have your freshman backup quarterback stepping in.
And we were just about to kind of get to talking a little bit about the STM game to open up the season against Holy Cross. I have to say that's just really cool, the fact they're going to be opening up the season in Yulman Stadium, and you'll will hear all the action right here on 103.7 The Game with Danny Jones and the coach Sam Heinen on the call. And I believe Goose is going to be on the sidelines for that one. It's going to be like,
sweet.
That's one hell of a way to kind of kick off the season for high school football for STM to be at Tulane at Yulman Stadium. More importantly, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, and you know, hopefully STM is able to come back with the win to the city. I can't wait to see just across the board who just wins in the high school matches this Friday.
And what game are you going to be going to tomorrow?
I'll be at Southside versus Northside, and I'll be at the Crow Dome where...
Oh, you'll be jumping back and forth between those two?
Yeah, you know...
Is it at Northside or is it at Southside? I'm trying to remember.
See, I couldn't tell you because I have to look, but I just know I'm covering that game.
We'll figure out during the break.
Yeah, we'll figure out in a break and come back and let you guys know where a few of these high school games will be going, where they will be going on at. Don't touch that dial because you're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Let's get
back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football on 103.7 The Game.
Bad boys for life, we ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. We can't be.
I have not played that song in a long time.
Okay,
I keep forgetting that intro is like it's almost like the record skips on that one.
It's a classic.
It's underrated, Puff
and
Daddy.
That was a very
Diddy,
funny
me.
Song to play because you guys, I'm just filling in for Ben Love. Don't worry, I'm not coming.
We never
in
play that during Ben show.
But I'm not coming in with the AB mentality of not going nowhere. I'm just filling in until Ben Love returns back on Monday. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game, and I am Shakira Martin, hanging out with Clint.
Yeah, fun story. Like when we took a break, actually, Danny actually is he hit mute on his cheek.
Oh no,
that's what happened.
Before.
Oh, trust me, it's even better whenever you have. And this is something that me and Ben have always observed when we have guests on.
Yeah,
they're usually on their phone, hopefully not driving. Because I mean, depending what you've read in a recent note, you've had a lot of people who have done interviews over the air and they get pulled over. Like Peter King a few weeks ago in Dan Patrick Show, which you can listen in it from 9 to 11 here on 103.7 The Game, got pulled over while doing an interview and had to like immediately put down his phone to handle the business.
Hey, if there's any officers out there listening, just give the people. They're just probably dialing 337-706-0111 to call in.
Make sure you got the if you need to have the Bluetooth rolling, have the Bluetooth rolling.
Just
it's
no
2019. Exactly. No texting and driving.
The babies are back in school. We just want to have a safe school year. No, no texting and driving.
But we ended the segment talking a little bit about my high school football with STM opening up the season against Holy Cross in New Orleans, a little of a neutral site game at Yulman Stadium. And we brought up the North Side South Side game you're going to be going to along with the Carrick game. Here's something I keep slipping my mind because I'm so used to thinking that they have a home field. They don't have a home field at the moment. They're going to be playing their home games at Turlings Catholic, but at the same time, you've got games that will be going on at it'll be at Northside tomorrow, and then of course Carrick. So it's not going to be too far of a drive. I was thinking they had a home stadium for the Southside Sharks. Not yet, as they're getting ready for their inaugural season, and that'll be on Mustang 107.1.
Yeah, and yesterday James called in and told us how good they did during the Jamboree. So I'm super excited to see this new program come out and basically put their name on the map and let us know that they are here. What other high school games do you got back there, Clint, that's going to be going on? We got Acadiana over at the Chrono.
That's absolutely the one that I'm just most looking forward to. Call it personal bias. Call it what you will.
Did you go to one of the schools?
I went to Carrick.
Oh, did you?
I went to Carrick back.
Carrick.
Yeah, class 07.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, shout out to Karen Crow, class 07.
Shout out to Karen Crow. And, you know, because when I went to school there, it was like that program. It wasn't quite like they never got to the dome, but they came pretty damn close on, I believe, two separate occasions. Once they lost in the semifinals in 03, my freshman year, and I believe they lost to, it was either West Monroe or Hanville. Basically, your two powers up north. It was one of those two programs we lost to, and then you wind up, then, like, my sophomore year, I think they got booted out early. Junior didn't. I don't think they made the playoffs that year.
Oh, wow.
And then my senior year, they got to the quarterfinals and lost. Definitely a less than ideal into the season during my senior year. But they were still a really good team back then. And they're starting to get a little bit better. Head coach Tony Corville got to open up the season against Acadiana High, an old-school rivalry. I know James actually talked about it because I was listening in on my way to Twin Peaks on Johnson for the Jordy Holtberg Show draft. And that was a whole lot of fun anyways. But the Acadiana Carrick rival, I think it was way back when they were in 3-5A. And I'm glad they still play each other because Carrick and Acadiana, it's one of those crosstown rivalries you need to have. You brought up the fact you have Southside and Northside playing each other.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff you need. Now, mind you, it's going to be interesting to see how these things keep building up going forward. We keep seeing South Side, North Side. We see the Carrick Crow, Acadiana type of games. Of course, you got Barbe LaGrange. These two are more recently 3-5A when you look at what's going on there. But LaGrange got bumped down to 4-4A, which is where STM and Carrick Crow and Turlings and all of them used to be. But they got moved down because of the whole redistricting, which is every couple of years when they do that, it gives me a headache because I'm like, oh, hey, these guys are part of 4-4. I'm like, no, they're not. Like, whenever Carrick dropped down to 4A, it was like, what? And STM, at one point, if I'm not mistaken, this might I might be out of my reach here, but I'm trying to remember. I think maybe like in the mid to late 2000s, they were part of 5A for like a minute. They were,
I get confused with all of that stuff.
It's all based off of the amount of people you have attending the school.
I know that, but I'm saying the mix-up and the district moves. I mean, well, I've been here for a year, and the fact that a private school can play a public school, and then during playoffs, everyone breaks and go their own separate
ways. That's a whole different, like, I'll say this. We did not have that. This is a more recent thing within the last 5 years since I've started being in sports radio. I had a long time where I was not focused strictly on what was good when it came to high school football or high school basketball or anything of that matter. After I kind of got out of high school, I just didn't really pay attention to it.
Yeah.
And then right after I kind of started getting back into the fold, that's when you had the select, non-select. You had the whole debate. It's still going on. Hopefully we can want it. I just want to see it back together to the way things were before the split, because it really seems pointless to me. And I feel like, you know, with the whole situation where they want to wind up having a site for the non-select games, the select games versus the non-select games, where the non-select games will be at the Dome, and whenever you're a select school, you're going to have to, I believe you'd have to incur a little bit of a loss. Now, with the situation they've ratified, is now, like, let's say you got Notre Dame of Acadia Parish.
Okay.
They made the state title game, and let's say, hypothetically, Catholic High, New Iberia. Let's use the state title game from last year. Those two teams play again in the state title game. Hypothetically, of course, it's all about timing and how this thing works, because, of course, you could have, hypothetically, the Cajuns host that game as long as nothing else is kind of impeding it. Is if you have a situation where the Cajuns are going to be hosting the Sun Belt title game, which we hope they do, that's another hurdle you're going to have to kind of cross as we get closer to the end of the season, the end of the line, because that'll be, I believe, the first or second week of December. That's around that time when you have the Sun Belt title game on that Saturday. So you'd have to kind of rush and get all that in on like a Thursday or a Friday and have to have a quick turnaround.
Sounds like a lot of math.
It really is. It really is.
For football. It sounds like a lot of math that's not dealing with yards or even just a score. But it's what makes Louisiana very interesting.
Well, we're going to have Blaine on in the 6 o'clock hour. He'll definitely dive into it a lot more. Ask him about the power rating system. That is a whole different mess in and of itself. But we got just enough time for one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
The final word on a Thursday is preps, because we are prepping you up, getting you ready for high school football. We are just that much closer to the whole kit and caboodle, getting jump started. So hopefully you're enjoying what we're bringing to the table. Hour number one, it is in the books. Hour number two is going to be a lot of fun and definitely very interactive. 337-706-0111 if you want to get in on the action, because we'll be giving our predictions, putting it on the table for the NFL throughout the 5 o'clock hour. Of course, Blaine Viator join us at 6 to wrap things up as we get closer to bringing it to the pregame show for the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. We'll be back with more after this on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Live from the 237.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
And You are listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports, 103.7 FM, The Game. I am Shakira Martin from News 15, filling in for Ben Love. He will be back on Monday. And I'm sitting here hanging out with Clint. We're talking about the best sport ever because I'm biased. And
well, I mean, football season is officially back, too. Let's not kid ourselves.
Let's not kid ourselves, but it's still like the best sport ever.
It's amazing.
It brings unity. It brings a great time of competition.
There we go.
What's up with you? A cat's got my tongue today. And because the NFL starts their 100th season, I wonder if there's anyone who's still alive who's seen all 100 seasons.
No, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm sure they might not remember the first NFL game that happened. But you're talking about like the start of the NFL season, year one, number 100. But I want to have seen this pop up earlier today about notable LSU players who are participating in regular season week one. Almost every game has at least one LSU player involved.
Nice.
Like, I think there might be only one other game because I think it's like 15 of the 16 matchups on tap. I think, and surprisingly, I keep forgetting about this, the fact you've got like two. Yeah, just in the Saints-Texans game, you've got one from each team, Will Clapp and Mingo, who recently got traded.
Okay.
But it's amazing to see how many players are on different programs. Like, for instance, the one with the most is without a doubt the Jags-Chiefs game because you've got Mo Claiborne, Honey Badger, Darrell Williams for the Chiefs, and then you had Alfred Blue, DJ Chark, who I keep forgetting is part of the Jaguars, and Leonard Fournette. It's crazy how many people are from LSU in the NFL right here, right now.
Well, it's also going to be a crazy night tonight because NFL starts their season off with Chicago Bears playing the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers are leading this series 97-95. Who you got winning tonight, Clint?
For the Bears-Green Bay game?
Yeah.
I got to go with Chicago here. I've been waffling on it back and forth. And by the way, if you didn't lock in your Twin Peaks Pro Pick'em Challenge on 1037thegame.com, I'd recommend you hurry up and get in on the action. Like I said, go to 1037thegame.com. You'll be able to join up in our Pro Pick'em League and be able to test your knowledge up against the best of us, or in some case, the worst of us, i.e. me, because sometimes I'm not necessarily the best in the world at picking. But Chicago, I'm going to go with them to win.
Okay.
But I'm not necessarily going to be like, oh, wait, I'm all in on them winning, because I feel like Aaron Rodgers wound up getting some good things done with him.
Aaron Rodgers that I don't think like is the issue. It's just a questionable defense as well.
Yeah, but I think the fact you have a new coaching staff and maybe Aaron Rodgers is a lot more motivated, I think that's going to wind up helping out that offense and get things done. Because I think you bring up the fact that you're not concerned about the offense. I'm a little more concerned just about Aaron Rodgers in general. Can he do what we expect him to do?
Yeah, I mean, the new offense with Devontae Adams should eat. So I know I don't think it would be like a big difference in the score. I think it'll probably come down to a field goal, which would be cool. Call in to the station and let us know, who do you have tonight? 337-706-0111, or if you're on Twitter, @ She Reports. Literally, She Reports. I think that's the easiest Twitter handle.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, it'd be easier to do that rather than, you know, Shakira Martin. And we talked about this off air. It's like the fact that people say it, like, write it out like Shakira from, like,
like Shakira.
Yeah, like Shakira. Like, his don't lie, as opposed to Shakira with a Q. Like,
do you know how often I get that question? Does your hips lie?
Oh, my God. And $20 says that's just all in the DMs at this point in time.
Does your hips lie? And I'm just like,
what?
And then people freak out when I speak Spanish because, like, yeah, I'm fluent. And then they go, oh, so you really are named after Shakira. And I'm like, no, I'm named after Shakira with the Q. But anyway. all right. Then you got the Miami Dolphins versus Baltimore. Who you got?
Oh, man. That one's tough because do you want to put it on.
We'll see Mark Ingram play for the first time.
Oh, we'll see Mark Ingram play without a doubt. It's going to be fun to see what he does. But the question is, for me at least, what's going to happen with the Miami Dolphins? Are they really going all in on tanking for Tua? Because I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is going to be kind of a dogfight tonight.
Tanking for Tua. Isn't that insane?
I mean, that's kind of the way things are right
Shout
now.
Shout out to the Pelicans not having to tank anything besides on Anthony Davis.
Well, I mean, Anthony Davis kind of fell into their lap in a certain way as well. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they had a 6% chance as well. Because with the NBA draft now, I feel like tanking's not as big of a deal as opposed to the NFL, where it's like literally you have the worst record, you're getting the first pick. In the NBA, now that they've restructured some things, I feel like now the lottery makes things way different.
Well, God heard Louisiana's cry from the no call, and shout out to him for getting.
Oh, no, we got lucky that day.
We got lucky. Okay, Cleveland Browns versus Tennessee Titans.
Cleveland Browns, and, you know, last year I wouldn't have said that, but the way the Cleveland Browns have turned things around, I'm going with Baker Mayfield. I'm hoping OBJ, and as a person who owns him in fantasy, I hope he's 100% healthy, ready to go, because that would be a tough break to not have him in there week one.
What about the quarterback playing for the Titans? Isn't it going to be his fourth year?
Yeah, Marcus Mariota. He's in Marcus Mariota, same kind of situation as Jameis Winston. Number two pick. They're both kind of in that same situation where if you don't see Mariota produce, he's going to be out the door.
Yeah.
Like, bottom line, he'll be out.
Yeah.
With Jameis, it's a lot of it has to do with kind of some personal issues. But I feel like, you know, the Titans, they've got a guy as a backup, Tannehill, former Dolphins quarterback. I feel like they're going to wind up having him almost as a carrot, saying, hey, perform better, or this guy's taking your job.
I'm excited for that game because while everybody wants to see Odell and Landry catch, I mean, we get to see Greedy out there on defense, and he's been eating.
He looked really good in the preseason. Really, I feel like he's one of those guys that has shown that he's willing to be the guy on the defensive side of the football. And that was kind of a weak spot for him last year. And I think
you go from LSU to the Browns,
yeah,
and then you're lining up against the best during practice. So imagine what the real game is going to be.
That exactly. It's going to be awesome to see him open up the season against the Titans team, and I'm probably going to want to start not 1-0, and it'd be probably a one-sided affair.
Yeah. Then you got the Vikings playing the Falcons.
Vikings win, and it'll be a lot like what we've seen during the preseason.
Trust
where
Kirk
the
Cousin?
No, the Falcons will blow a lead. All preseason, they've blown leads. Like, that's all the Falcons have done in the preseason.
Hmm.
It's amazing.
Even on the road.
It's just literally been like, oh, hey, they've blown leads. I was talking with my guy Ross Jackson about all preseason, how every time they play, they blew a lead.
I don't have his stats in front of me, but I think Matt Ryan is pretty trash on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never going to wind up just putting it all on a team being on the road, especially whenever they play in a dome and both teams play in a dome. It's like you're not having to be a different situation. Like, let's say if we're talking about the New Orleans Saints playing Chicago in December or January, I'd pick Chicago any time of week, because that's a tough playing in Soldier Field in the Windy City in December or January is extremely tough for a dome program.
Have anything to do with it? I mean, when people visit the Superdome, they always are talking about the Who Dat Nation is part of the reason why the Saints are able to win.
But I don't think it tells the entire story to me. It's just my personal perspective is that I think that with the Falcons Vikings matchup, I'm going to go with the Vikings winning this one. I think they win it. It's going to be a competitive ball game, and the Falcons will just kind of choke under the pressure.
All right, a good
Sound
game.
Sound familiar?
I'm just going to ignore you and keep going. Jacksonville Jaguars and Kansas City.
Kansas City is just going to roll over the Jaguars like a drum here. And
you need to see if Pat Mahomes is going to be able to go for being a 2-for-0 type of quarterback this year, which a lot of people think that he won't rack up the same yards that he did last
year. I don't think he will, and it's largely because of the fact now that you have a lot of film on him that shows you, hey, what he's going to wind up doing. He'll still win a lot of ball games and probably in certain instances win by large margins, but in the case of the Kansas City Chiefs, I think he's going to wind up performing really well.
Maybe be
towards the top of the MVP voting, but I feel like last year was a major anomaly.
Okay. We got the Panthers and the Rams.
I'm gonna go with the Rams here because I feel like, and this is just based off of pure feel, whenever you're talking about the Carolina Panthers, I got to go with the Rams because the Panthers just haven't shown me a damn thing all throughout the preseason. Cam Newton, is he going to be able to play? Is he healthy? That's the million-dollar question.
I think a West Coast team traveling east is going to be a very tough little matchup. I mean, it still takes a toll on the team. But Cam Newton, he's just, I don't know. It's just going to be an interesting year with the Panthers. I really don't have much to say on them. I really wish I had Amazon Prime to watch the show that the Panthers have. Have
you heard? Yeah, I've heard of it.
And I heard it's actually really, really, really good. Gives you a lot of insight of what's going on. But I also think the Rams are going to live up to the hype that they have going on, coming off the upset from the Super Bowl. And, I mean, like, we also didn't get to talk yesterday about Jared Goff being
the $90 million man, reportedly. $90 million he's going to get after – don't get me wrong, Jared Goff had a really good season, but it's a calculated risk, according to some former GMs, to have him be there, because you just look at what he did his first year, his first couple years with Jeff Fisher. He did not look like, he looked like a totally different person. I feel like a lot of that has to do, obviously, with Sean McVay, but what's going to happen down the line whenever Sean McVay gets another big-name job? Because you know that there's going to be some spots available before long. Like, let's say the Dallas Cowboys, the New England Patriots, the New Orleans Saints. There's going to be some jobs in the next 5 years or so that could very well become available. I feel like Bill Belichick will probably be the first one to drop the biggest name will wind up dropping, and it's going to be Bill Belichick, because once Brady retires, I feel like Bill Belichick might be bouncing out the door as well.
I feel like I want them to retire before Drew Brees. I want Drew Brees to be last.
Oh, of course. I think that's everybody here.
But if the Saints win this year, I mean, Drew Brees will probably be the first to chunk up the deuces.
Well, I mean, I think it'll be a close race between those two, because I feel like Tom Brady, he knows how much time he's got left, and even if he doesn't, like, win a Super Bowl this year, he might wind up retiring, like, right after the season's done, because he knows that, I mean, with him, his legacy's already assured. He has, what was it, like, 5 Super Bowl rings?
Yeah.
He has 5 Super Bowl rings. He's built a legacy as a guy who was a 199th pick out of Michigan, started out as a backup behind Drew Bledsoe, and then he wound up becoming an absolute megastar virtually overnight. I feel like he's got every chance in the world to do something really cool.
And you can't forget he has one of the hottest wives.
Who gets paid more than him.
She's hot.
Oh, I mean, yeah, she is.
Shout out this to Tom Brady living alive. All right, one more. Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, let's knock it out real quick. I'll keep the music rolling, though.
Okay, the Jets versus the Bills. And, you know, the Jets cut.
You're going to be testing my knowledge here on this one.
The guy who went to UL.
Oh, McGuire.
McGuire.
Eli McGuire.
Yeah, he got...
He's with the Browns now.
Oh, he got picked up already.
Yeah, he got picked up.
Awesome.
I think he'll be a practice squad guy, and, you know, this could be great. But, you know, I think with the Jets, once they signed Le'Veon Bell, the writing was on the wall for Eli, because Eli had every chance to wind up being a really solid, like, third down back for the Jets. But once they got Le'Veon Bell, and I think they made an offseason move, can't remember the guy's name. But I'm going to go with the Jets winning this one, because the Bills just cannot have nice things in this in-state rivalry.
I mean, who really cares about that game, though?
I mean, the Jets and Bills fans, they'll care about it, but outside of that, not really.
That's one of the least favorite games this week. But, okay, we got more NFL matchups coming for you guys after the break. So make sure you tune in, and you can also call 337-706-0111. Let us know what game you'll be watching in week one of the NFL being back. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
You don't know me. Tweet telling people you my partner. Listen, you don't know me. You're playing all the songs that I can, like, rap to and get a record deal as I'm sitting in for Ben Love.
In the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roof. We bring in the heat here.
Bring in the heat. I mean, that's what we've been doing. Because we're making Ben Love proud on Bumper to Bumper Sport. I'm Shakira Martin sitting in for Ben Love.
There we go.
He's out. I mean, do
it, Monday. Don't get me wrong. Like doing a two-hour show, you can wind up getting tongue-tied a couple times. Ben Love and myself have definitely caught ourselves more than a couple times.
I mean,
with that.
You go from talking for 3 minutes on TV to talking for 2 hours on the radio. I'm loving it.
I've always been interested because, like, you brought it up perfectly. You usually just do 3 minutes every night.
A 3 minute hit,
as opposed to more of a long form thing. And, you know, you've been doing this for a couple shows now. Which do you like better? Do you like doing the 3 minute hit, or are you more a fan of just the long form kind of stuff?
It depends, I guess, on the
situation. Of course, I mean, like
this is awesome.
You're starting
so
tomorrow. Y'all gonna be having some high school football coverage, right? On News 15.
Yeah, we'll be out at the Cotton Bowl.
The Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, out.
That's where
in
it's
Bill
at,
Platt.
Man.
They'll be going live during the late show, five and a six. They'll be out there live.
I'm saying the 10 o'clock, like when y'all have the high school football like roundup type show.
It'll be at 9 actually. 9
oh, nice.
On Fox. Yeah, we're switching
it up. That's weird, but okay.
Yeah.
Because I know for a fact that like 90% that like a good like 80% of the games won't be completed.
Yeah.
It's a weird. I'm okay with it, but I don't know how it's
different.
Gonna work.
So tune in tomorrow at 9 o'clock
on News 50.
News 50.
Because of course you got the 50 nuts on my channel 6.
I don't have cable.
15.1 then,
or could stream it.
Yeah,
from KADN.com.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that'd be fun. But you guys are listening to 103.7 again. We're talking about it being the first week back for football.
For high school and NFL.
For everything. Well, yeah, because college started last week. But, I mean, the real game is this week. So, who cares about last week? LSU's playing UT. That's what we all care about here.
So, where were we? We brought the Ravens-Dolphins game already. Did we go through the Redskins-Eagles?
I'm getting there. The Eagles and the Redskins. Who you got? I got the Eagles.
I got to go with the Eagles as well. The Redskins don't intimidate me much. Outside of Darius Geis, I feel like that'd be the thing they're running with. That's not going to wind up leading to a whole lot of wins.
And the last time Case Keenum visit Philly, he was horrible. So I don't really see anything changing.
They'd be better off with Dwayne Haskins. You're saying,
basically. Okay, you got the Seahawks and Cincinnati.
Seahawks and Cincinnati. I gotta go with the Seahawks. It's gonna be at home, West Coast, the 12th man. Will be in full effect.
And the Bengals are without A.J. Green.
Yeah. Well, so. I mean, the Bengals are an absolute dumpster fire, and it's even more so, even without their longtime head coach there. It's sad.
Yeah. All right, you got the Chargers and the Colts.
Chargers and the Colts. It's got to be the Chargers. I feel like we talked about it in the last segment. The Dolphins are tanking for Tua. It's a battle for the bottom of the barrel with Andrew Luck gone.
I can't say the Colts without getting teary-eyed because I really have always been an Andrew Luck fan.
I thought you were a Baltimore native there for a second because I thought you would have got you every time you see the Indianapolis Colts, you get upset because Baltimore Colts used to be over there. But I get it. I get you.
No, I was going with Andrew Luck, okay?
Yeah,
that's
I know.
The most recent
having,
heartbreaking news that a lot
I'm
of us.
I'm having fun.
All right, you got the Cardinals and the Lions.
I got to go with the Cardinals again. It'd be the rookie going at it, Matt Stafford, and a whole bunch of jabronis. It's going to be the Cardinals winning this one, but it'd be a close one. And in fact, the picks on them, the Twin Peaks Pro Pick'em Challenge on 1037thegame.com have this one really, really close, 52-48.
I'm actually cheering for Kyler his entire career. And
I'm cheering for him because I have him on my team.
Okay. I can understand that, but I think he got spoiled over at Oklahoma with such a great line. Like we talked about it yesterday, when you have a good line, you could be a phenomenal quarterback. And I think that's what we saw when he was at Oklahoma.
Well, I think
and
he also got spoiled.
He has no one in Arizona with him, making sure he's good on the line.
He also got spoiled because he played in the Big 12, and Big 12 defenses aren't necessarily really there.
Which is what we will see on Saturday when LSU plays.
LSU's going to smoke him.
Yeah. Okay, you got the Cowboys and the Giants.
Cowboys are going to win this one handily. I feel like we're going to see Daniel Jones in there one point or another. I haven't seen the flip chart for the Giants game yet, but I'm certain we'll see Daniel Jones in there before long.
Yeah, I think the Giants are going to have to pull Eli. But I remember earlier during the summer, I actually got the opportunity to interview Peyton Manning. And I asked him, like, with all the quarterbacks making a lot of noise this year, like, who are you excited to watch? And he said, you know, I'm always going to have the television on Eli as long as he's playing. It's like, what a great brother, even though he knows your brother may not be playing.
Much longer.
Okay, you got the Bucs against the 49ers.
Ah, man, I'm going with the 49ers here. I feel like Jimmy G's road to redemption begins here. They're going to win this one. No Fitz magic for the Bucs, so I'm going that route.
I can agree with you on there. You got the Patriots and
Sunday
the
Night Football, baby. Patriots, Steelers, give me New England winning this one. I feel like there's still going to be a lot of growing pains now that the Antonio Brown era is over. Ben Roethlisberger has his guys in place, has his culture, if you will. But I think there's going to be some growing pains the first couple weeks.
I think for the entire season for the Steelers, they just got to shake off last year.
Mike Tomlin gone at the end of the year?
I don't know. That's my mama's husband in her head. So I cannot say that because she's listening. Mama, that was him, not me.
I didn't say
you asked a question. For you to even put that in the atmosphere, Mom, the number is 337-706-0111.
She's already blocked me from all social media.
Clint. You can call him. But yeah. Okay, you got the Saints. And the Texans.
Saints win that one handily, and I'll throw one more out there, one log on the fire. The final game of the week one schedule, Broncos and the Raiders. I'm going with the Raiders here, and I feel like a lot of it has to do with the fact that
without AB?
I'm just not sold on the Broncos. I think the Broncos offense is going to fail them, and I think the Raiders are going to wind up coming out the victor because outside of the Broncos defense, what do they have?
Are you going with the Raiders even without AB?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see how it pays off. We can take a quick commercial break. We'll be back with a whole lot more. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
This is World Champion Handicapper.
You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
I don't know the words to this song, so I'm not going to come on singing.
Well, I know the words, and I wouldn't recommend it, Shakira. Okay. I like my job, so we're just going to leave it at that. That's why I have the instrumentals.
You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. I'm Shakira Martin from News 15, filling in for Ben Love for a few days while he's out. He'll be back on Monday. I'm in the studio with Clint. We've been here talking about nonstop football.
That's a different kind of football.
I just wanted to say it like that because... I mean,
well, don't get me wrong. Saying football is awesome.
But it's not
gonna lie.
Football.
I wish it was football.
We're not talking about football. We're talking about football.
How can we not talk about football in this time of year?
We're talking about football. Knock on wood if you're with me.
I'm very half-heartedly now that I'm disappointed because we're not talking about football. I wouldn't mind talking about some Man U right about now. I'm frustrated with them.
And why is that?
They've been underperforming. They're 1-1-1 right now through three matches.
1-1-1.
Yeah, they're 1 win, 1 loss. And wait, I think it might be 1-1-2 now. It's like they got 2 draws, and they drew last week.
I just don't know what type of team they are right now.
But it's like, I mean, Manchester United, they're definitely the big dogs in the world of Premier League soccer, which is really where it's at. That's why I'm glad that we got NFL back. But at the same time, man, it's tough to kind of multitask, especially with how the Saints typically play. Thankfully, the first like few weeks, they're going to be at home Monday Night Football, and then 2 weeks after that, they're going to be 325 games, Rams and the Seahawks, and then they got a Sunday night game, if I'm not mistaken, right after that with the Cowboys for week four. The first month or so, I'll be able to enjoy plenty of Premier League on Saturday and Sunday, but after that, it's like,
it goes down.
Gotta keep up through the apps, let's just put it that way.
So before the break, we gave you guys a rundown of who would be playing in week one.
It's a fun week one.
A fun week one with a few, maybe like three small boring games. But other than that, like a lot of good games that will be going on today. We gave you our prediction. And now we're going to transition to talking about who will be coming out of each division. I think we can go ahead and skip over the AFC East and just know that the Patriots will probably be the ones pulling out of there. And if you have an insight of what you believe will happen this year, don't hesitate to call us at 337-706-0111. Let me know who you have coming out of divisions. But we could talk about the AFC West.
Yeah, let's start there. AFC West is going to be pretty fun to see what happens there. AFC West, I'm going to go with the safe pick and go with the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, I feel like Pat Mahomes, his production will go down, but not quite significantly down like everybody else is thinking.
Like three yards.
No, I think he winds up probably, what was it last year, like 5,000 yards, somewhere along those lines. I feel like he goes down about probably 4,500 and 4,000. That's still good. That's still good.
That's stellar.
But the defenses know what they're prepping for.
I agree with you out of there. Unless AB can get himself together with the Raiders, I really don't see anyone else coming out of there. Then you have in the AFC North, I think that will... Yeah, I'm thinking about Baker Mayfield. It seems like he may have to lead the team. I don't know. Big Ben and the Steelers. Juju on the beat. Juju on the beat, pun intended. That's hilarious. Not for sure about that one. But the Browns will probably be the ones coming out of the North. And then out of the AFC South, I think that would be up in the air. It depends on how the Texans can do, and we'll finally get to see Deshaun Watson against an actual good defensive team to really know where they'll come from. I'll have to do the Texans out of the South.
I think the Texans is the easiest pick to go, but again, they seem wide open because Texans have a lot of holes. Obviously, Indianapolis, they're going to be tanking for Tua as well. And then you've got the Tennessee Titans. Can they get it done? Can the Jacksonville Jaguars? That's probably be – I'm going with Jacksonville Jaguars now I'm thinking about it. I feel like they're a team that's going to bounce back from what happened last year. Now that they have Nick Foles and not the stew bum that is your boy Blake Bortles.
I forgot Nick Foles was forced out of the Eagles' nest.
I say that was the best thing that could have ever happened to him, to be honest. And now he has an opportunity to run an offense. And Leonard Fournette, more importantly, he's going
to – that they did that to him.
You kind of had to. You know, it's the toughest.
But in Carson Wentz, you trust? He can't even stay healthy.
Well, you hope he does this year. I think that's the biggest thing.
I'm not going to lie. Seeing Carson Wentz, though, in a few of those preseason games, he's back. That's the Carson Wentz that I witnessed back when Sam Houston State went to the championship and had to play against him, and he crushed us both years. That was a horrible demolish. I don't even want to talk about that. So let's just keep things moving to the NFC East.
Did you do the AFC East? Well, I stepped out for a minute.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, Patriots. That's it.
Skipped them. It was the AFC North.
Oh, AFC North. Browns. Yeah, Browns. That's where I'm going as well. Browns.
I don't see the Steelers really doing anything.
It's the Browns year. They're going to make the Super Bowl.
The NFC East is going to be a really good matchup just because you have the Cowboys and the Eagles, and they're looking like the Spider-Man meme right now when it's like
they feel like the exact same team.
The exact same team, except I don't know. Who do you think is better, Dak or Carson?
I think Dak is better, but it's mainly because of the fact that now he has his other tool, his utility belt he can work with. Because if you look at what we've seen in the past, you know, couple of years, whenever Zeke's not there, Dak looks like a different person.
I think
Dak does not perform very well without his security blanket. Because he's like Linus with a security blanket with Zeke Elliott. And I feel like that's the biggest thing going forward. Can Zeke Elliott perform? Can Dak Prescott perform without Zeke Elliott if Elliott is out due to injury or what have you? Because if he's not, it's not going to look good for him and his supposed $40 million deal he wants.
I'm excited to see Fletcher Cox go up against Zeke.
This would be fun.
All right. We go to the West.
Yeah, West side.
You got the Rams. Everyone.
Yeah, definitely. It's the Rams.
In Louisiana, you can't even say that.
Don't
even say it.
Are you really going to want to put your chips in on the San Francisco 49ers to have like a big bounce back year with Jimmy G? Are you putting your chips on the table for Kyler Murray just to run roughshod over the NFC West? I can't say that.
I would put my coins more on Kyler than I would on 49ers franchise.
No,
I'm biased.
I'd agree with you, and it is a little bit biased for me as well, because back in the day, the Saints used to be in the NFC West. And that's a whole different conversation for a whole different day about why I hate the 49ers a lot more than the Rams before the Noel call, obviously.
I believe in cap, so no comment.
Okay, let's fast forward through that part of the podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
NFC North. All right.
Oh boy.
Green Bay, Packers, Lions, or Chicago, the Bears.
Die Bears, without a doubt.
They're
going to get it done.
All right, and what about the South? I mean, of course we're going to, in a biased way, say the Saints.
It's got to be the Saints. I feel like Atlanta will make a lot better run this year because they did not get ravaged by injuries during the offseason. Because you look at what offseason and preseason. Look at last year. You didn't have Deebo Jones. He was out for the entire year. You saw a lot of injuries, especially on the defensive side of the football, that took them out of a lot of contention early on. I think this year they've bolstered up their offensive line to protect Matt Ryan, but now you've got your guys like Deebo Jones. You've got all these guys back ready to go at 100% healthy. They're going to be a lot better this year. I feel like they're going to be your second-place team in the NFC South, and then you round it out with Carolina, Tampa Bay, as Jameis Winston gets ready to be shipped off to the XFL.
The XFL will be a fun league to watch.
XFL 2020. I am so excited about that.
So excited for the opportunities it's going to
be. Well, it's just the fact that we have like more football.
Okay, that too.
Yeah. It's like I think it starts like the week after the Super Bowl. So basically you go from NFL to XFL almost seamlessly. If only the AAF were still around, we'd have that as well. So much football.
So like football year round.
That's the goal, right? Like hypothetically,
it feels like basketball is year round. Like
I mean, it kind of is because it starts
like less than 50 days before basketball.
It starts like late October, and then it goes on into the month of June. And now that with the Big Three, that's definitely
the Big Three has been fun. Leslie,
Joe Johnson is just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, formerly Chris Jackson, has just been an absolute stud from that aspect.
Lisa Leslie is, yep, like, doing her thing as a coach, and her team won. So that's just a fun, different league. It's a different vibe.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, like, if you could actually have, like, a Big Three-esque league, like, in terms of football. Could a 7-on-7, like, professional league work?
Would it be tackle or would it be flag?
I think you could probably do tackle, but I think...
I'm not a fan of a flag.
Either tackle or maybe two-hand touch, like 7-on-7.
Two-hand touch, but no roughing the passer, because I touch you, I'm pushing you.
But seriously, wouldn't that be an interesting like idea to have it be like a 7-on-7 like summer league? And it doesn't have to be like NFL players, obviously. It could be like your XFL guys.
I think it would be fun with college players.
Exactly. I think anywhere, because, mind you, I'd always just go Pac-12 and Big 12 off Pac-12 and Big 12 teams only, because those would be so much fun to see those two like offenses just run up the score. It'd be like arena football.
Yeah, if I was a quarterback, I'd
7-on-7 arena football. That's where it's at.
7-on-7. That'd be fun. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports. 103.7 FM, The Game. It's a lot of fun just talking so much about football. Like the entire 2 hours we've been talking about football.
And we can keep it going.
We're
going
to go and pay some bills really quick. And then we're going to come back and talk about more football on Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
iron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports. But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back to Bumper to Bumper Sports. We just got enough little time here to wrap up hour number two of two. We got Blaine Viator. He's already inside the 237 Roof Studios getting posted up as we get ready. Shakira, obviously, in here as well. But before we get to anything else, let's get ready to throw some shade.
And we're throwing shade again?
Yeah, I mean, we got to do it every day. It's a
shade.
PSA. It's a PSA locally. No one throws shade like your good pros at Patio Center. You can follow them, check them out on the website, patiocenter.com.
For throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports, nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
It's time to throw a little shade, and man, I'm definitely loving the fact that we have so much to really kind of dive into. Obviously, we open up the segment talking about Antonio Brown and his whole antics. I feel like that's the easiest shade of them all. Every time we bring him, every time he pops up in the headlines, he is shade worthy. But Mike Thomas came off the top rope with this one. I wouldn't take Mike Mayock too serious either for the simple fact that he had the nerves to rank five guys higher than me coming out of the draft. And we all know how that worked out. Who dat though? Hashtag let's call a spade a spade. That seems way too easy for throwing shade, but we had to do it.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
It's Mike Thomas just off the top rope.
It's funny that you said that because I think AB had the best shade. It wasn't the fact that he posted the letter on Instagram, but it was the follow-up. It was the tweet that he tweeted. I think once it broke news what was going on in the Raiders locker room, he tweeted, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And I said, "Amen, AB. Take us to church. Take me to church."
It's just awesome to kind of see how much this story just escalates every single minute.
Totally.
It's like a soap opera, and you never know what AB is going to do. But it's like, Kat, you know you can't do that. You can't go off on your boss without, you know, expecting repercussions.
Yeah.
The exactly. Best part of it
is the helmet and... Come on, man. Let's just play ball. You know, we know you can ball out.
But we don't even know exactly what it was that escalated it to be there's turmoil going on back here. All they said was, this is what happened. And we're just making the assumption that it's AB acting up.
Right. I mean, that's true. But, I mean, you got to go with the track record, right? And AB's track record isn't great. I mean, what, taking shots at Big Ben in the offseason, the whole helmet fiasco.
But where was the lie? Where was the lie? When he spoke his truth, where was the lie? No one was able. I mean, if he's talking about somebody's work ethics, you can't get mad just because somebody is willing to speak up. Just because you aren't the type that can speak up and AB is. I'm not defending him, nor am I condoning his work ethics on going back and forth with your boss. That is, like I said earlier, you got to learn how to be the student when you have a teacher involved. But at the same time, AB is human, and I think he probably said something that stood up for himself and probably also felt bad. Like Clint said earlier, it's in his contract that he's going to have to be fined, but I still think he took it to heart because, I mean, we talked about Michael Thomas not showing up, and it really wasn't a big deal about how they handled him not showing up, but it's also a different factor because the Saints is more of a brotherhood culture type thing versus, I mean, AB just got to the Raiders. AB is a
so you still kind of right, you know, you're still kind of filling your way out, becoming
right.
Part of the team, becoming part of the culture
him.
In the locker room. They need him, but they didn't have him last year either, though. So I think when a guy's as talented as AB is, and we know he could just ball out. Man, show them catch a good ball. You don't have to come out and, you know, run your mouth. I mean, you show what you do on the field shuts up all the critics.
Right.
Because you're so damn good.
Right.
So just go out and do your thing, man.
I forget that we can say the D word on radio.
That one.
I told Clint.
There's more than one.
I told Clint earlier, I said, it's so funny being on the radio versus on TV because there's a lot that you cannot say on TV, but...
Well, there's a lot you can't say on here either.
Well, you know, I mean, I definitely have a face to be on the radio and not TV.
Oh, this is accurate.
And also, I don't think my speech patterns
This is a pre-shade
well.
Right there. It's a post-shade right there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious.
I would be AB-esque if I was on TV.
It'd be Pawpaw.
Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7. You're listening to Shakira filling in for...
All right, we have fun here to start up, to wrap up Blaine. hour two. And then hour three,
and it's Clint.
30 minutes straight, Blaine and Shakira and myself. This is going to be fun.
Good
times. Especially with high school football. I know Blaine is just hyped up about
it,
especially
fired up, man.
Tomorrow, man. And you can be filling in tomorrow, correct?
I was told that. Maybe so.
Okay, yeah. No, but I think that's the way it's going to be.
All right.
But are you going to be like live in the 237 studios, or are you going to be out at the Crow Dome?
I hadn't decided yet. We might do that live from the Crow Dome.
Wait, Blaine, where are you from?
I'm from Carrick.
Yeah, he's from here.
Oh, okay.
He lives in
the Crow Dome, like 5 minutes.
I'm sorry, I ask everyone that question here.
But he literally used to live right down the road.
Oh, okay.
I'm out here, man.
You're a little further out now.
Yeah.
Crow Dome.
Like right in the heart of downtown.
Yeah, we'll have a good time tomorrow. I mean, we'll do all the usual fun sports stuff, LSU, Cajuns, Saints, fantasy, high school football.
Gosh, it's just so much. It's just a lot of stuff going on, ladies and gentlemen. How can you not be in the spirits of football? And you could tell me how spirited you are by calling the hotline, 337-706-0111. Call us and let us know what high school game you will be tailgating at tomorrow and who do you have winning the games. Stay with us. We got to go pay some more bills because they keep piling up. But 103.7 The Game, Bumper to Bumper Sports. Stay with us.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Welcome back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. I am Shakira Martin from News 15 filling in for Ben Love. He will be back on Monday. And then I have Blaine in here with me.
What's up?
What's up? What's up? And then it's Clint back there with us.
Hello.
Roll call.
Hello.
How exciting it is, though. Last week we got a little teaser of, college football to kind of
get. And high school football.
And a little high school jamboree.
A little jamboree.
Just a little bit of an appetizer. And then this week we get the whole gauntlet.
I'm feeling like Zeke. Yeah. Feed me.
Blaine, scale 1 to 10. You're just more looking forward to the fact that you don't have an hour pregame show.
Well, when you do an hour pregame show in the Jamboree, you leave yourself a lot of room for improvement for the rest of the season.
Well, the last two times you've been on the airwaves for a high school football game, you've had an hour pregame show.
Yeah, so I did the state championship game for LCA, and how that goes when you're doing state championship games in the Superdome. Yeah. You don't know when games are going to end.
Right.
So we planned for a 30-minute pregame show. We had interviews taped, and then an hour and 25 minutes later, we're still going. You can only break down the game so many times in so many ways, and then you start breaking down other games that'll be there that weekend. But, hey, it's all a good time, and I always have fun when I'm on air.
That would be a fun time to talk about the players as students and wonder who has the good GPA. Because we're talking about high school here, so these are still kids at the end of the day, even though we pin them up as if the quarterback at this school is – the next Drew Brees. No, they're still kids, so it's always fun to personally get to know them.
I try to go to Karen Crow practice, once or twice a week during the season when I'm calling the games, and you get a realization of that I was at practice this week and the starting center wasn't there, and where is he at? Is he not playing? Oh, he has Key Club he has to go to. they were taking Key Club pictures. He'll be here, in 15 minutes. Some academic club. I don't know.
Oh, sweet. Yeah,
I wasn't that smart for those things.
Yeah, I didn't qualify for those.
Oh, that's horrible. I was in National Honor Society.
Oh,
I was on the skateboard club.
That's why you're on TV and me and Clint are on radio.
That's funny. Is there what Is there any player at Cairncrow that you see really like shining this year that you can't wait to watch? I know as a whole you have to root for.
I think that the two names you need to keep an eye on for Cairncrow this year that's going to just explode on the scene is running back Kendrell Williams. He's a junior. He's a state champion in wrestling. He's a state champion in track and field. And he's one heck of a running back. I think college coaches are going to come start to call this year. The young man goes about 6 foot, right around the 200-pound mark, and he could absolutely fly. He has great vision. And the thing that's really impressed me, the change in his game from his sophomore to his junior year, is just how patient of a runner he is. He lets his blocker set up in front of him, then he just really hits the hole so explosive. And he's really just a violent runner, man. He's really fun to watch and great kid. He's
violent.
He's a Beta Club kind of guy. He's a member of the 1,000-pound club over at Cairncrow as well. So just a hard worker, great kid, and just tremendous athlete. And the other player is he was an All-State honorable mention guy, All-District MVP, and that's Rashad Onazim. He really started playing at Cairncrow as a freshman, but last year he took his game to another level as a junior, and he just was making plays all over the field. They play him at safety. I think his natural position at the college level is probably going to be cornerback, but he's a guy that's going to start to get looks from the Southeasterns, Nickel States, Northwestern States of the world, and a great kid as well, really humble and well-spoken.
Okay, Clint and I were talking, and we can stay on high school for a second. Clint and I were talking earlier about Acadiana and them being this powerhouse, and I actually had Del Monet come on the show during the summer as a preview, and he gave me the rundown about what's going on over there at Acadiana, and that kid is about to break records.
I mean, look, Dylan Monette is just a tremendous athlete. He's been starting since his freshman year. And you want to talk about explosive. I mean, in that Vera offense, once he hits the open field, good luck catching him. A good student as well. But as you mentioned, he's only like 1,400 or 1,300 yards away from breaking Allie Broussard's career rushing record at Acadiana. And we know what kind of back Allie Broussard was. I mean, went on to play at LSU, McNeese State, and Southeast Missouri State. So, I mean, he's an elite company, and I think they're going to rely on him a lot this year, but they got so much talent on that team. You have Lucky Brooks, who's just a dynamite runner as well, and Keelan Williams' son plays quarterback for them, and he's becoming a better passer, but he just runs that Vera offense so well, and you know what you're going to get with Acadiana with that big offensive line. So that Cairncrow-Acadiana matchup tomorrow, I'm so geeked up for it.
I was going to ask, how do you see Cairncrow's defense matching up to play against a powerful offense?
Well, Cairncrow played Lafayette High in the scrimmage, and Lafayette was able to do some things against them, throwing the football and having a little bit of success with quarterback running out of the shotgun formation. Now, you turn the page and to the Jamboree, they played Brobridge, and they absolutely dominated Brobridge, 120-0, and they really dominated along the line of scrimmage. And that's something you got to do if you're going to beat Acadiana. I believe Burbridge might have had only 3 or 4 first downs the entire game. So I think Cairncrow's defense is really coming to age. They're switching over from the 3-4 to the 4-3 this year, which I think is a better defense to defend the Vere. And I really think this defensive line is just playing at a high level that gives them an opportunity and a chance.
That's going to be an exciting game to watch.
I think so. I think the Crow Dome's going to be rocking. I mean, everybody knows KDN has lofty expectations, not just every year, but this year especially when they return so many players on both sides of the football. They're going to be a state championship title contender. And for Cairncrow to catch them in week one, I think that's really a good week for Cairncrow to catch them in. I'm just so fired up by that ball game.
I think Acadiana's going to have a lot to prove this year. I mean, for the simple fact that they lost a good rival last year, and that was when they lost to Como.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. That one came out of left field, and we saw how explosive Como was in the Jamboree as well. I really think Acadiana's on a mission this year, but this Cairncrow-Acadiana rivalry kind of goes back and forth. Acadiana's won the last 2 ball games against Cairncrow, but before that, Cairncrow won 3 in a row.
Oh.
So it's kind of a series that goes back and forth, and you don't know which way it's going to swing.
Yeah, I know another big game that will be going on out at the Cotton Tea Bowl. Or is it the Tea Cotton Bowl?
The Tea Cotton Bowl.
I'm sorry, I said
Bill
it wrong.
Platt, is that Sacred Heart?
Yeah, Bill Platt and Sacred Heart. Sacred Heart's been winning the last two.
Yeah, they've kind of been taking over in that.
But Bill Platt has a returning team this year versus Sacred Heart. Lost 17 seniors and only had 10
And
this
Bill
year.
Platt looked awfully good in the Jamboree that they were able to win. I think they're a team that's poised to you know, kind of get the monkey off their back. There's so many folks that love to go to that ball game, and what they do is so cool, getting the community to really come together.
Yeah.
That's two schools that, you know, they're close in proximity, but culture-wise, they're miles apart. And for them to come together in that ball game and get the entire community of Ville Platte, I just think it's really good for the community over there.
It's always good when you can have some UNITY going on.
Everybody can learn from high school students, right?
And the fun part about that bowl game is, you know, those kids grew up watching their cousins and their brothers and their brothers' friends playing in that game. And now I know that it went away for a little bit, and now it's back, and they've been keeping that tradition going. And to hear the players talk and say, hey, I remember growing up watching this game, now I'm playing in the game. I mean,
that's just what makes high school football so special. You know, the pageantry and just the small town community, tight knit.
Yeah.
You know, that some of these kids don't grow up watching UL or LSU on Saturdays. They grow up watching high school football on Friday nights under the lights. And for them to get to play in such a prestigious game to them, like the T Cotton Bowl, it just means something more.
Yeah, high school.
Like the SEC, right? It just means more.
LOL. it's going to be a really good week. You talked a little bit about watching Lafayette in the Jamboree. How did Coach Poole and his kiddos do, especially after having a very rough season last year?
It was an odd game. Lafayette High jumped out to a 14-0 lead like before you can blink your eye. They scored from the first play from scrimmage, a 65-yard bomb from Saunier, caught it in stride, scored a touchdown. Then Cecilia's second play from scrimmage, they pick off a screen pass and take it to the house, so it's 14-0. And it looks like they're just going to go out and dominate. And you got to really credit the Cecilia Bulldogs for having some resiliency and fight in them. They didn't give up, and they came back, and they were able to win that ball game 20-14. But Lafayette High looked pretty good. Saunier went down with an injury late in that ball game. I think he's okay, and he's going to be able to go Friday night. But I think as having, you know, a third-year starter at quarterback like Saunier, it helps, especially when you lose a running back like Corin Norman was the bell cow last year. They handed the football off to him 20-plus times a game. He had over 1,200 yards, so they really needed to create a new identity. And right. Saunier being there and for a little bit, you know, more experience, I think they'll poise for a better season. I think it's a Lafayette team that can go 5-5, which is a lot better than they've been the last couple of years.
Right, right, right.
And I love Coach Poole. I think Coach Poole's
He's
tremendous
awesome.
Guy.
He's awesome.
He has just a great personality type and the right guy for the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you wonder if a guy's a right fit. You don't have to wonder about that. Rob Poole's a good fit at Lafayette High.
I can agree with that. And shout out to everybody at Cecilia. I mean, I just did the story on, and you can check it out on News 15 or KADN.com. With Coach Wag, I know his passing was really hard to the Cecilia community. So I know Cecilia is probably going to be pushing for his honor. I mean, it's a classic thing.
They have a new turf field that they're going to be playing on this year. And Raymond Colley's brother is playing running back, and he looks good, man. He's a little bit small in stature, but he has such good feet and balance. He looked real good. He scored a touchdown from about 15 yards out in the Jamboree, and you can see why people are talking about him, only a junior.
Yeah, so I can't wait to see what the Cecilia Bulldogs are able to produce this year. We were talking earlier about Northside playing Southside.
Yeah, Northside. And look, Southside, that was one of my surprise teams from the Jamboree. I mean, you know how good Louis Cook's Pios of Notre Dame of Acadia Parish are. They're so good each and every year. Hey, Southside, look, first varsity game, buckle them up, and they played them very tough. You know, they were able to match up with them in physical part of the game. They lost the game, but they still really gained my respect. Northside, they have better numbers this year. I like Coach John Sims. He does some good stuff there. Their starting quarterback went out with an injury in the first half of the Jamboree.
That's
he's
going
to be out for the year.
Yeah,
you hate to hear that, especially in the Jamboree. So.
Especially because they're just kids.
Right, right. I mean, the young man, he got hurt pretty severely, and I think he's going to be okay, but I think his football career for this year is over. But they're going to battle back, and I think they're going to be better. Look, they went over and played Generette the week before in the scrimmage, and they dominated Generette. They scored, you know, I think the score was like something like 20-6. So okay. That's good to see them build. That's a program that you always got to pull for, Northside. I mean, those kids, the kids that are out there really want to be out there. I mean, when they played Karen Crow last year, I think I counted they had 27 kids on the sideline.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
You have to have more kids than that if you're going to want to compete.
Right. I'm also excited for, we talked a little bit earlier about STM playing Holy Cross out in New Orleans, but the cool part is that they will be playing at Tulane University's stadium.
Yeah, Yeoman Stadium, that's be really cool.
That's awesome for them. I had some of those guys come to the station as well. I did like this really cool high school preview, having a few of the kids from all over across of Acadiana come in, talk to me. We showed some of their highlights, talked about like what happened last year. And STM, those guys came packed. It was about five of them. They came and rocked with me. We sat down. We talked about the whole nine yards. And they said that they are excited about this year.
I think this is the year for STM. I mean, they're absolutely loaded. I know they lost Will Cryer, you know, a guy who rushed for out of 1,400 yards or so last year. In my opinion, they have the best offensive coordinator in the area in Shane Savoie. He's such a good the way he breaks down film and he self-scouts. You wouldn't believe last year before Karen Crow played him, they ran something like it was like 600 plays or something like that, or 500, whatever it was. And Coach said they had 281 rushes and 281 passes in the plays. So 50-50 is tough to stop, right? I mean, you got a guy like Caleb Holstein who's going to an Ivy League school. That shows you the intelligence the young man has.
And he announced that the day after he came and pre-taped on the show,
man.
And I was like,
hey. He could have been on the show.
Exactly.
Man.
I was like, yo, you could have waited. But, I mean, shout out to the STM Cougars and the entire football team. Those guys were sweet and they were awesome.
They're really poised just for, you know, a tremendous year. I think they're going to really compete for a state championship with U-High. I really think STM's that kind of guy.
Yeah, well, keep it locked in here on 103.7. We're talking about high school football. We're just talking about football in general here on Bumper to Bumper Sports with me, Shakira Martin, sitting in for
Ben Love. Back on Monday.
I'm sorry, I was laughing because it's just been a long 2 hours, but I'm still pushing.
One more segment, Shakira. One more segment.
This is all right. Thank you guys so much for dealing with me and hanging in there with me. We'll be right back after the break.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kind of odd.
Ice Cube has nothing on you, Shakira.
Thanks. I'm really out here trying to get a record deal as I'm on the radio. I just feel like, Mama, I made it. But I really can't sing. She will tell you that after I stopped singing in the choir at church, she was like, God gonna take your blessings away. So now when I sing, she like, can't hit the note like you used to. Shout out to Mama. But you're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. I'm Shakira Martin from News 15. I am accompanied by Blaine and Clint D. And we are just having fun getting you guys home. While you probably have been in traffic. It was traffic as I tried to get here.
It took me a minute to get here.
Yeah. I have to remember that there's really not a lot of highways within the areas here except for I-10. I mean, like, Johnson eventually turns into a highway, but after you get out of the streetlights and stuff.
Way down there, though.
Way down there.
So what game were you most looking forward to on the college slate outside of LSU and UT?
I didn't know that there was another game besides that one. I think
Clemson A&M, or is that going to get you fired up a little bit?
You know, we talked about this yesterday, and then we talked a little bit about it when Danny called. When I asked him, does he believe that UT is back, this is the first time since the Rose Bowl game that UT has been amongst, like, conversation. Like, UT is not the school in Texas that you strive to go to. Like, how everyone here would love to go to LSU. That, like,
well, at one point it was, though, like, not that long ago, right? So, like,
Rose Bowl. That was so back the when Vince I was in Young, middle like, school. Vince like, Young Rose Bowl, yes.
So that's the last time
you were That's the last cool. time UT ever was, like, topic of discussion. I mean, yeah, you have some good DBs that came out of there, but as far as, like, being competitive, I'm not saying better than LSU. I didn't say that. I'm just saying they do have.
Danny must have really got a hold of you.
No, I mean, no, I'll pick Earl Thomas is, like.
Earl Thomas is a beast. I'll give him
Michael
that.
Michael Griffin, I mean, like, you can't deny the talent that has come out of UT, but UT was also never that school that after the Rose Bowl game, I mean, everybody started talking about Baylor, and then you have Texas A&M, but A&M really hasn't done.
I mean, there was a small window there that TCU was the best program in the state.
TCU, yeah, because of Trayvon Boykins.
Yeah,
was
Trayvon
like,
Boykins was a dog, man. They got to go.
That's my homie. Shout out to him. He was able to really put up numbers, especially with, like, all the kids from San Antonio, because they had picked up Aaron Green, who was, like, one of the most dominating running backs out of Texas. He didn't go far, which post-college, I mean, it is hard to go far. But
what about San Antonio's your hometown? What about UTSA and Frank Wilson? Man, we love Frank Wilson down here, you know, the Roadrunners.
I mean, UTSA
are they back?
Are they back?
Are they there?
They just
are they
started.
Coming?
I mean,
are they coming?
It's like the program is like 4 years old.
They make a trip over to Baton Rouge next year.
Yeah, I know. And, I mean, hey, they were able to produce Marcus Davenport and give the Saints a nice first-round draft pick. So, I mean, Texas has their schools to where UT isn't the main focus and a priority. So that's why it's interesting that two top-ranked schools will be facing each other in Austin on Saturday, and I think all eyes will be on that game, and especially since Coach O has said that Sam is supposed to be the next Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Ellinger's just like a different kind of beast, right? A lot of people talk about running quarterbacks, and they think of like Johnny Manziel, Lamar Jackson, but Ellinger's a different kind of beast, right? He's more of like Tim Tebow, a Nick Fitzgerald. He's a guy that's going to run more of like a quarterback power type run. He's not a guy that's going to scramble and break a bunch of big ones like that. He's a physical runner.
Why do we forget about Michael Vick?
Oh, Michael Vick was so good.
He was the one that started type of quarterback era, in my opinion.
Oh,
and
for
sure. Like, we just don't bring him up.
Mike Vick, his run at Vitek was so dumb. I mean, he single-handedly brought Vitek to the national championship game against Florida State.
You know he's back, right?
Guy was good, man.
You know Mike Vick's back.
Yeah? XFL, or what's he doing?
Madden. Madden brought him back, and I cannot wait to play
man,
with him.
I remember Madden, you know, in the early 2000s, man. You got Michael Vick, and you rolled him out.
Yeah.
And you just win.
You just win. Well, yeah, now he's back, so you can have the opportunity.
Okay, I might have to check that out. Maybe I'll get Clint D to play me in Madden.
I don't know, Clint, are you even good in video games?
I am, but I've definitely stepped away from Madden because it has just gotten absolutely trash over the years. I mean, the glitches are too much for me.
I love the Twitter videos of the glitches.
Back in the day, like, those glitches, if they were there, they'd stay there forever. And now it's just that's my biggest issue with Madden now. It's like they don't have this, like, ready to go out the box day one.
Screw Madden. Bring back NCAA.
Yes, bring it back.
Bring it back. I'll come out of video game retirement for NCAA.
That's hilarious. All right,
man,
guys.
This was a whole lot of fun.
We have to do this again.
Yeah, we'll do it again, and I'll do it tomorrow. I'll actually be live from the Crow Dome. You can catch Bumper to Bumper Sports from 4 to 6 before football night in Acadiana.
And I'll be out in Acadiana, north side, south side, stand up. I'll be at your game. If you see your girl, holla. I'll also be at the Crow Dome. If you see me there, holla. I'm very nice and friendly. Thank you guys so much for rocking with me for the past 2 days. It's been fun. You guys have been awesome. Your ears have been great, and I'm truly grateful and honored. So until next time, Bumper to Bumper Sports, 103.7, The Game. Your girl is out.
And the Falcons are reportedly very close to a new deal. Team owner Arthur Blank told The Athletic he would be, quote, surprised and disappointed.